I asked him what he would do if he had a little wooden cabin on the along Highway 1, and he would create a little bookstore, what books he would stock in such a bookstore. And Martin responded, "What we need now in our culture, in our societies, more than ever, is imagination. So my bookstore would be filled with fiction, and only fiction." So, hello, welcome to a Big Sur podcast, the first one of 2024. I am Magnus Thoren, the host of the podcast. And this episode will be a little different because I am intending actually to read something from a writer that I tend to agree with, someone who was a guest at the Big Sur podcast, episode number 55. His name is Martin Gurry, and he wrote an essay. We'll get to that a little later. But first, I'd like to say, by way of introducing this particular New Year's Eve or New Year's greeting, that being at the Henry Miller Library, receiving guests, often brings the most wonderful conversations, sometimes prompted by the currencies that are hanging from the ceiling from all over the world. Discussions then often go into foreign places far away, all the different wonderful cultures that exists in this world. But discussions are also inspired by book titles found on the tables and on the shelves. The discussions then range from friendly exchange of ideas and opinions, but also sometimes to the more aggressive and intolerant and confrontational. Yeah, even a few times some guests at the library have yelled at me for stalking certain titles that they themselves perceive to be not okay, even to the point of throwing copies of books down the canyon in a sort of moment of anger and need to demonstrate how displeased this person was by us carrying this particular title. So, you know, and even at one point, we also had somebody spray paint a sign outside on the highway. So, you know, with some derogatory comment about the library. And those things are very unpleasant because I believe that the library, and we all should be free to share ideas and opinions. And we say on the Henry Miller Library website the following: "The Henry Miller Library guarantees all guests the broadest possible latitude to speak, write, listen, challenge, and learn. It's not the proper role of the Henry Miller Library to attempt to shield individuals from ideas and opinions they might find unwelcome, disagreeable, or even deeply offensive. There are so many books and stories to read, to write, to tell, and to listen to. So we hope to learn from different ideas, why and how they come to be, and what values they're premised on, to always critique and argue in good faith." So that brings me to the year-end message from a Big Sur podcast. And just one thing before is a quote, I think, from Martin Luther King Jr. that's well worth thinking about in the context of all of this. Martin Luther King Jr. says, "Tolerance of intolerance enables oppression." So like I said, a previous guest on the podcast, Martin Gurry, episode 55, wrote a year-end article in Discourse magazine. There'll be links to that in the show notes. And I found that to be expressing so much about how what I feel, and so I thought, well worth sharing. So I contacted Martin Gurry for permission to read it, and he and the Discourse magazine gave me permission to do a bit of duplicating language. So here is the New Year's message for 2024. To my friends across the political divide, a New Year's plea to those who support the old regime. This is me talking about politics to myself. If you disagree with me, you may never see this. My words are immured within an anti-establishment information ghetto and can't easily reach you. If in defiance of all odds you come across them, you will likely dismiss me and my words as dangerous nonsense. There's a ghetto of the mind, too. I'm talking to myself, but I want to talk with you, with all of you who disagree. It's a new year. Hope springs eternal. I don't do resolutions, sad tokens of human failure. But if I did, it would be to keep talking, 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 because someone might hear. We are a nation of rules. American politics and government are defined by rules. Our democracy is an empty abstraction. It doesn't really exist. Instead, we have rules and procedures for choosing those who govern us and for holding them accountable. The rules aren't immutable. They evolve, but slowly and with care. This feels boring and uninspiring. It was designed to be that way, and it is precisely what makes our country great. If you want excitement, you'll get a Fidel Castro. That's the place I came from, a land of political overstimulation and 7 decades of tyranny. We are a nation of rules, and the rules are boring. Embrace that. In times of difficulty, go with the boring option. When faced with a frightening crisis, tamp it down with ultra-boring moves. No matter what, stick with the rules. I can't avoid talking about Donald Trump, but I'm going to make it brief. I know you don't like him. Neither do I. But let's assume he's only a politician. He's not Hitler, Godzilla, or the beast of the apocalypse. Just a guy with a loud mouth and a desperate need for attention. Most Americans think of him that way. This is not about him. It's about you. When you demonize those who disagree with you, you invite treatment in kind. When you refuse to engage in political argument and resort to performative moralizing, you make it clear to any neutral observer that for you, there is only one side, one opinion, one conformist crowd that can ever govern legitimately. The rest are disgusting subhumans who should never be tolerated near the levers of power. When you trample on the rules that say all are created equal, like that, you are destroying the fabric that holds the country together. And believe me when I say this, you will reap the whirlwind. Free speech is a rule among us. It's closely bound to the search for truth. When you justify state censorship, you pitch your camp in the kingdom of lies. And believe me, the chaos you impose from above will erupt with 1,000,000 times the force and consume you from below. The law exists to maintain order. It's not for settling our political disputes. That's the rule. When you criminalize dissent and equate nonconformity with terrorism, you have lost the thread of how this country works. When you joke about putting opponents in re-education camps so they can be converted into loyal followers, you channel the regime in Cuba. When you prosecute an opposition presidential candidate, you practice the same style of mafia politics as Vladimir Putin in Russia. When you ban a candidate's name from the ballot to preserve our democracy, you sound frankly like you have gone nuts. And believe me, it will come back to haunt you. You and I may disagree, but I have no wish to dismiss you as a moral abomination or prosecute you for your political views or disqualify the candidates you prefer. Disagreement is information. It's a favor you do to me by calling out the potential gaps and the mistakes in the opinions I hold. I realize that in the excitement of the moment, it feels like an enormous gulf separates us. But that's only true if you want it to be. Distance is always a matter of perspective. And you know perfectly well that in your family and among your friends, there are individuals who disagree with you politically. People, just like you, except for this one little thing. You and they are not so different. From where I stand, you and I are not so distant. The two parties will nominate their candidates. A few outsiders may find their way into the ballot. We, the American people, as we have done for more than two centuries, will choose among them. The result will be counted state by state and sent to the Electoral College. Those are the rules. If you mess with them, there will be hell to pay. If your side wins, be boring about it. No censorship, no demonization, no show trials. People will love you for it. If your side loses, ask yourself why. Fake news? Russian manipulation? Systemic racism? The totalitarian temptation? Each of those narratives is an insult to the American people, for whom you must retain some vestige of affection and respect. If your side loses, look in the mirror. You are the reason your side lost in 2016. A man like Trump can only get elected because he's not you, and there are few alternatives. Reflect on how you can win back those who feel so disenfranchised that they would vote for such a man over your choice. Whatever the outcome, we'll have to live together. Talk of resistance and civil war is exciting, but self-destructive. Be boring instead. Look for common ground in politics. If there is none, then look to our common humanity. Our differences of opinion may seem profound, but all of us want what is best for our families, the neighborhoods we live in, and the country we love. We can raise our voices in anger, but there should be no malice in this debate. If, after the death in battle of 700,000 Americans, Lincoln could feel malice toward none of the enemy, we can do the same after a presidential election, win or lose. I'm only a voice crying out from inside a media ghetto, but I wish that you could hear me and we could find a way to talk. I wish we could push aside the worst among us and bring the best forward to be the living heart of this crazy, pluralistic society. I wish I could open your eyes and let you see yourself the way people see you. For all our sakes, I wish I could persuade you that the rules are the rules and to break them is suicide. And don't take it the wrong way, friend, but I'm going to wish you and all of us, a very boring 2024.